Welcome in to another edition of Locked On Titans. I'm Jimmy Morris, joined as always by Terry Lambert. Terry, how are you tonight?
Doing good. What's going on?
Not too much. Big news today. Your boy Harry Douglas back in practice.
No.
So basically, the way this works, right? So Harry Douglas and Aaron Wallace are on IR, and they can bring one player back per year from IR. They used to, at the time, when they put somebody on IR, they had to designate that person to return. They could only do that once a year, and it had to be that person. They removed that rule, and now anybody that goes on IR can be brought back after 6 or 8 weeks, whatever it is, but you can only bring back one person. So Douglas returned to practice this week. I haven't seen anything on Aaron Wallace. I don't know where he is as far as his recovery goes. But give me your thoughts on the fact that, Harry Douglas could be on this 53-man roster as early as this week.
Man, I just don't want to do this, Let's just not go down this road. The Titans have drafted Corey Davis and Taywan Taylor. Why is there a need for Harry Douglas? I don't understand. I don't understand how he survives cut down day. They put him on IR, I guess for insurance. Maybe they weren't so sure about Corey Davis. But what does he bring to the table other than being a veteran? Is he better than Taylor? I don't think he is. He certainly isn't as talented in this stage of his career. The only thing you can argue for him is that he knows the playbook, and he'd probably be in the right spot if called upon. But you're talking about a guy that had 15 catches last season. And I know for a fact that two last second as the clock expired passes came his way from Mariota last year. So for whatever reason, Mariota went to Harry Douglas with the game on the line last year, which is just mind-blowing. So your decision here comes down to Aaron Wallace, a pass rusher, which just about everybody feels is a need, or Harry Douglas. So to me, that's an easy question to answer, assuming that Aaron Wallace is healthy. He flashed some things in preseason, and he ended up winning that. I think it was the Panthers game with a sack fumble. So it's a spot where the Titans don't have any depth, and it's a spot where the Titans could use some athleticism. To me, it's a no-brainer.
Well, first of all, you do understand why Harry Douglas was kept on IR. Mike Mularkey loves him for whatever reason. Loved him in Atlanta, brought him here. For whatever reason, he has this obsession with Harry Douglas. The biggest problem for me here is, number one, he's just not very good. But secondly, if they have him on the roster and if he's up on game day, then he's probably going to take reps away from someone. We were talking a little bit before we got started here how he doesn't play special teams. So, if you're going to have him up, then there has to be some role for him. And who does he take reps away from? Do you want him taking reps away from Rishard Matthews? Obviously not. Corey Davis? Obviously not. Eric Decker? No. Taywan Taylor is probably, I would say, the guy that's the most likely that Douglas would take reps away from. And that's just stupid at this point. I get that, like you said, he's a veteran, and there's something to be said for that. But you've got Matthews and Decker, so it's not like you don't have any veteran presence at that position. And Taylor just has so much more upside. And to think, as we move throughout this season and even down the road, next season, year beyond, you want to get Taylor out there and get him, in these spots and used to, making the mistake. I mean, he made a mistake, I think, pretty clearly. Taylor did in the game against the Steelers, the ball that Mariota threw. He thought Taylor was going to be one place. He went the other. I think we give the benefit to the third-year quarterback in that situation. But you want him to be able to work those things out now. So they're not having to do that in a year or 2 years. So I don't know. It concerns me if they do put him back on the 53-man roster that he is going to take snaps away from somebody that's just better. And like you said with Aaron Wallace, and I was trying to look around and see, and it's been nothing on him. So I don't know what There's something here I'm talking about. But anyway, so I don't know what the situation with him is. But like we're talking about, I mean, currently the Titans have four outside linebackers on the roster. And Kevin Dodd has not been active on game day the majority of the time. So they've been keeping three outside linebackers active on game day. So it would make sense, right, from a position depth, position scarcity point, that if Aaron Wallace was going to be able to be back in the next couple of weeks, that you would keep that spot open for him because he does bring something in a position of need, something that they – especially if one of those guys gets hurt, which is very possible. I mean, Morgan and Arakpo have both been banged up at different times during the season. Now, they haven't missed games. They haven't missed very many plays even in a game. But, you know, they're guys that are older. And, I mean, to me, that would be – you would keep that open. But I guess Jim White said today that Aaron Wallace is not – they're not considering letting him practice anytime soon. So, I mean, I guess that does play into this a little bit. But I still don't know why you would bring Harry Douglas back.
I agree with everything you said, 100%. And let's not forget, they created an off-season award and gave it to Harry Douglas. I mean, we literally haven't seen this award come back out. We've never seen it before. They gave it out one time, and it was to Harry Douglas. So that speaks to the staff's love of Harry Douglas. So. I don't know. I've been waiting for 2 years for the Titans, one, to get good enough at the receiver position to where they didn't have to play Harry Douglas, and two, to cut Harry Douglas. So I thought we were there back in August. Apparently not. So I just don't know. If they activate him and he comes in and Tywan Taylor doesn't play anymore, I'm going to be pretty upset.
Yeah, and like you said, I mean, you thought once they drafted Taylor, after drafting Corey Davis, obviously, I mean, you thought, okay, that's it for Harry Douglas, right? I mean, that was the thing that seemed to be the nail in the coffin, especially after they signed Eric Decker later on, because then you just get into a numbers game, right, at that point. They had signed Eric Weems. I mean, I thought he might be a long shot to make the team coming into camp just because you didn't need him as the returner anymore with the Dory Jackson there. But still, he's here. He's hanging around.
So they're manufacturing touches for Eric Weems now. You know.
Yeah. I can't even get on that. And so yeah, I mean, we don't even know how they feel about Eric Weems. We know they love Harry Douglas, so they'll start putting plays in the playbook for him.
There you go.
Anyway, so that it's something to watch. Hopefully nothing comes of it because again, and two, to bring him back to the 53-man roster, they got to cut somebody, and I'm sure there are people on the roster that they could cut and we wouldn't necessarily notice, but I can't think of a position that really needs any less Harry Douglas than receiver. And you know, they kind of are places they struggle, and like I said, when he doesn't play special teams, I mean, that's just there's really no point. So the Titans were on the practice field today. Obviously, that's what sparked this conversation. But I think it was more just really a walk through anything else since they played on Thursday. You know, Quentin Spain came out and said that he played bad in the game on Thursday night. And so while you would just, you know, hope that he would play better, it's good. You see a lot of accountability out of this team. You know, Corey Davis came out and said that two of the interceptions that Mario threw were on him. Mario obviously took the blame for all four of them. So, I mean, it's good to see these guys stepping up and being accountable when they make mistakes, because that hasn't always been the case with the guys here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're talking to a Tennessee fan who has endured 5 years of Butch Jones, who didn't ever own any mistake he ever made. So, yeah, to see a team come out and kind of fight over whose fault it was, it's nice to see. You know, you saw Corey Davis come out and say, I got to play better. Those routes weren't right. We weren't on the same page. And you see Mariota, he's never going to throw anybody under the bus. So that's a good trait to have. But again, at some point, you got to stop and clean up your mistakes. But at least, you know, it seems like everyone in the locker room genuinely loves one another and will do anything for each other. So from that standpoint, it's good. But again, you know, I feel like every week we hear Mularkey say, well, that that interception wasn't necessarily on Marcus. Someone was in the wrong spot. That seems to happen a lot. Is that just me?
No, absolutely. And, you kind of wonder if he's trying to protect his quarterback in those situations. But there's a few of them. And like we talked a little bit last night about the first one, Corey Davis, the Cody Sensabaugh guy. I mean, you can tell that Davis just didn't run a good route there. I don't know exactly what he was supposed to run or what Mariota saw, any of that stuff. But it wasn't – he didn't finish it out. You can tell that much by watching what happened there. It's good to see. And those things don't necessarily translate to wins on the field. But like you said, when guys are being accountable and when they're they have each other's backs and that kind of stuff, it speaks to what's going on in the locker room. And chemistry is important. I think you can overplay the importance of chemistry, but I think you can definitely underplay it as well. And like I said, I mean, we've seen Delanie Walker talked about how toxic the locker room was in years past and how guys just didn't care. And, they would never take the blame for anything. So that's changing. That culture has changed in the Titans locker room. And that's important. Now, again, that doesn't always translate to wins, but I think it's a step in the right direction. And we've seen a lot of growth in those types of areas from this team. And we've seen a growth in, obviously performance on the field. I mean, again, we're down after what happened in Pittsburgh. But think about sitting here at 6-4. I mean, for years and years, through Munchak and Wisenhunt and all that stuff, we'd have killed to be at 6-4, even coming off a performance like that.
For sure, and I think it kind of speaks to the differences of Wisenhunt and what you're seeing now with the current staff. So, and I think you saw that change pretty immediately, starting with that Saints game. So, you can say what you want about Malarkey. I certainly was not excited when the Titans chose to keep him around, but I think he's transformed the locker room. I think he's done plenty of good, more good than bad to this point. You can certainly have your gripes, but from a locker room standpoint, getting this young core together for what looks like is going to last for a decade here in Nashville, that's pretty important.
Yeah, absolutely. And another thing that came out today, or that Malarkey said after practice today, is basically that they're still pretty healthy. They weren't required to report to have any kind of type of injury report today, with being a Monday practice coming off the Thursday game. But I don't think there's any concern right now that anybody will miss. And we talked about how just uncommon it is that for them to be as healthy as they are, to have no one with an injury designation heading into that game against the Steelers. And it sounds like we could see that same thing again this week. So that's pretty remarkable. And again, just sets up well for this team down the stretch. And we talked about how important the next four games are, especially. And so obviously, you have a better chance to win when you're healthy and the Titans are there. So that's a good thing. So we've got the Colts coming up next. So coming up, we'll talk a little bit about what's going on with the Colts right now and the woes that the Titans have had playing in Indianapolis. All right, so the Colts are coming off a bye, but you pointed out to me before we started the show that Jacoby Brissett is still in the concussion protocol. Now, I think you said Pagano expects him to play, but it's something that he still hasn't cleared that protocol even after the bye week.
Yeah, and it's interesting because he came back into that game, and that's a little odd. So to have a week off and to still be in protocol, that's sketchy to me. But Pagano says he's going to play. And, you were talking about a guy that played pretty well in Nashville. Good enough to win, probably. Just didn't make the plays late, and the Titans kind of turned it on. So I'm interested to hear kind of how you're feeling about this game. I feel terrible about this game. I'm pretty scared going up to Indy. It just seems like things go wrong up there. It's been a house of horrors for the Titans lately. I think the Colts are playing well enough to beat the Titans right now. I'm not sure the Titans can go up there and make the mistakes that they've made the past few weeks and escape with a win.
Yeah, so the Colts opened Lucas Oil Stadium in 2008. The Titans have never won there. And you know, you're talking about some Colts teams that weren't very good. You know, it's not like they've had these just stellar teams this whole time. I mean, there have been some games where, you know, the Titans really should have been able to go up there and win, and they haven't done that. The last win in Indianapolis was in 2007. And you might remember that game, right? Seven, that's what we said.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the last one was 2007. That was the Week 17 game where Peyton Manning played like one series, and then you got a heavy dose of Jim Sorgi. The Titans actually needed that game to get into the playoffs that year. That was Vince's second year. And so they won that game. Before that, you have to go all the way back to 2002, the RCA Dome, which I'm pretty sure doesn't exist anymore. That was the last time the Titans won there. So, like you said, I mean, you feel like you should feel good about it because the Colts are not very good. They have issues all over the field, offense, defense, whatever. So you like Titans' chances. Titans are favored. We talked about that last night. But at the same time, it's just you have this, I guess, battered fan syndrome, right, from seeing all these times that they've gone up there and just not shown up for whatever reason. I think this team is different. I think that, like we talked about, the culture and all that stuff, I think there is something to all that. And so I don't think you'll see that as much. And I don't know how much of a mental thing plays into it because there's so much turnover in an NFL roster from year to year. So even if you want to talk about how many games they've lost in a row, the majority of these guys haven't been around for the majority of those games. So I'm not sure how much there is to that. But it's definitely not a game that, you know, I'm 100% confident the Titans are going to go and win.
Yeah, it's a weird spot that the Titans hadn't been in this year. Yeah, they got blown away by Houston, but that was with a half of Matt Castle. And, you know, they lost a heartbreaker that they really shouldn't have against the Dolphins. So how will they respond just to that awful, awful second half in Pittsburgh? I'm interested to see how they get up off the mat. The Colts are... On paper, they're dreadful, but you saw them hang with the Steelers. They gave the Steelers a really good game, a better game than the Titans did. And you know, we've just laid out the facts that the Titans struggle up there. So it's a hurdle, you know, and it's a spot where the Titans have to get over this Colts hurdle. You know, I wrote that over the summer. If the Titans are going to make the playoffs, they've got to get past the Colts. Things have changed since then, obviously. But still, sweeping the Colts after not beating them since, 2008? I think that would be a pretty big step, no matter who's playing quarterback for them.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, if you want to keep pace in the division, which they do, you're going to have to win. Jacksonville has easy games, you know, in games that you would expect them to win. I think we talked, like, they go to Arizona this week, Blaine Gabbert revenge game. I'm still holding out for that one. That would be so awesome. But anyway, but you expect the Jaguars to win that game. And so the Titans want to keep this thing where, you know, we talk about who controls the division, but the bottom line is if the Titans don't lose again, they'll win the division. Do I expect them to win the rest of their games? No. But do I expect that game in Week 17 where Jacksonville comes to Nashville, do I expect that game to be for the division title? I do. I think that's what we'll see. And because I think the Titans will drop a game. I think Jacksonville will drop a game. And then you'll be looking at that game where if the Titans win it and obviously have the same record, they would have swept the Jaguars. And so they would win the division. I mean, I think that's a very realistic possibility. But that possibility takes a big hit if they can't go to Indianapolis and win. You know, I think the reason that I'm encouraged is we saw how well this offense played against Indianapolis last time, and that was with Marcus Mariota on one leg. Now that he's back healthy, I just think that gives them so much more that they can do. And so, I mean, from that standpoint, on paper, I feel good about it. But there's just a lot more that goes into this from a Titans fan psyche than just how good the teams are this current year. So that's what has you a little bit worried. You know, and the most surprising thing about that first game was how well the Titans defended T.Y. Hilton. Now, I know he's, you know, more explosive, obviously, on the turf and all that stuff, but I was really surprised at how well they were, how well they kept him in check in that game. And, I mean, he's the guy that I think when you really look at it, he's the one guy that really scares me on this offense.
There's no doubt about it. You know, we talked about Marlon Mack last time this came up, and you know, Chuck Pagano really hadn't let him out of his cage yet. He seems stuck to his guns with Frank Gore, which is just bizarre. But you know, Marlon Mack's another piece of the puzzle that could go off and score from any point on the field. So, and Jacoby Brissett, I've been impressed. You know, I think even if Luck were to retire, I think the Colts are in a decent spot with Brissett. I think he's probably in that 25 or below in the starting quarterback range. So he's been good. And you know, like I said, he played well in Nashville. So this is no gimme game. You know, I think we've kind of glossed over this part of the schedule, and rightfully so. When you look at the quarterbacks they're going to face, there's no reason the Titans should go lose this game, but we've seen stranger things happen. And, you know, with a mistakes-prone team, inconsistent team, a team that can't run the ball, a pass rush that we don't know really what we're going to get moment to moment, it can happen.
Sure. Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, and we'll tomorrow get into more of the specifics of what the Titans did to take T.Y. Hilton away in that game and kind of some keys there. And like you said, I mean, Marlon Mack is a guy that if they ever start using him, you know, after a bye, would seem like a logical place to do it. Now, like you said, the Chuck Pagano love for Frank Gore is, you know, bordering on Mike Mularkey's love for Harry Douglas, right? I mean, just things that don't necessarily make any sense. And Gore has been obviously a very steady, productive player for a long time in this league, but Mack has just shown, you know, the ability to be explosive, and that's something that any offense wants, but especially when you've got a quarterback who's, you know, young in his starting days, you'd think you'd look to get some more of that on the field. So that may be something they do coming out of the bye. We'll just have to wait and see. But, yeah, I mean, I think that these next four games are really big. The Titans need to win at least three of them. They really need all four of them, but you know, three I think keeps them in a good spot in the division, in the wild card, all that stuff. But you know, they're going to be favored in all of them, like we've talked about. But they're not gimmies by any stretch of the imagination. I don't know how many of those there really are for the Titans, but it all starts here. And again, like you said, just to get the Indianapolis monkey off your back and to have already beaten them once this year, but to sweep them, man, I think that would do a lot for this team, for their psyche going forward. So, you know, it's a really important game. And like I said, tomorrow we'll get a little bit more into the specifics of the matchups and all that stuff and what we're looking for. Anything else, Terry, we need to hit tonight before we get out of here?
I think that'll do it for tonight.
All right, so like I said, come back tomorrow. Tomorrow will be our last podcast of the week, heading into Thanksgiving. But we'll break down the matchups a little bit more and talk about that. As always, you can check out our work on MusicCityMiracles.com. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at JMorrisMCM. Terry is at TLambertFB. So for Terry, this is Jimmy saying thanks for listening to Locked On Titans, and we will talk to you tomorrow.